And JC,
We now start the video feed and recording. So I heard the beep.
we are live.
I
All
think we're
right.
good.
So we'll go ahead and start. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the November 13th, 2025 meeting of the Judicial Branch Budget Committee. This is an open meeting today, and it's nice to see everybody. I just want to give some reminders before we start. The meeting is open to the public and it is being recorded. It is being conducted virtually, and members of the public can watch via a listen-in video feed, listen-only video feed. Members of the committee and others who may be presenting today or answering questions, please remember to unmute yourself prior to speaking, and to minimize background noise, please mute yourself when you're not speaking. Also, for purposes of the recording, please identify yourself before asking any questions or making any remarks. And with that, Ms. Ratanasame, would you please take roll?
Thank you. Judge Mormon.
Present.
Judge Hernandez. I believe she's out. Justice Hill.
No response thus far.
We'll circle back,
Let you
see if he
know.
joins.
I'll let you know.
Judge Armendariz.
Here.
Thank you. Judge Crumpton.
Present.
Thank you. Judge Rhodes.
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Charles Johnson.
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Darrell Parker.
Here.
Thank you. And Miss Rachel Hill.
Here.
Thank you. We have a quorum.
All right, great. Thank you. So our first item of business today is to address the meetings from September 4th. They were in your materials at starting at page 3. If someone has had a chance to review them and would like to make a motion.
Crompton moves their approval.
I will second.
Thank you. Any comments, corrections? All right, all those in favor of approving the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? Any abstentions? All right, seeing none, we'll move ahead. Ms. Ratanasamy, did we receive any public comment? This is the public comment portion of the meeting.
No public comments are received for this meeting.
All right, thank you. So we'll move to the action items on the agenda. We have three of them. We'll move first to the increased transcript rate allocations for fiscal year 25-26. It does require action. The materials are at pages 5 through 8. There was a quick update right before the meeting today. However, Judge Conklin is here as chair of TICPAC, along with Marshall Comia, our associate analyst at the Judicial Council Policy and Research. I'll turn it over to you, Judge Conklin.
I was on mute. No, I'm not. Thanks, Judge Mormon. Good to see everybody. I've got, as Judge Mormon noted for you, three action items and one update. They're all pretty routine, but we want to take the time necessary. The first is exactly that, to discuss the increased transcript rate allocations for 25-26. This is a standard allocation that TICPAC recommends to you and then to the council each fall. It's an annual allocation this year for over $7 million to cover the increased costs. Marshall's about to give you the details. Marshall, thank you.
Thank you, and hello everybody on Judicial Branch Budget Committee. As Judge Moore and Judge Conklin pointed out, and as you can see on the screen, Marshall Comia with Judicial Council Policy and Research. And as Judge Conklin says, for approval, an allocation of $7 million to each child court proportionally using the Judicial Council approved methodology for fiscal year 2025-26. This $7 million ongoing general fund was appropriated to cover the increased costs associated with the increased transcript fees enacted by the passage of AB 177 back in 2021. The allocation methodology includes averaging the actual transcript expenditures by court for the last three fiscal years, applying a proportional allocation of the $7 million appropriation to each court based on the 3-year average of transcript expenditures and then allocating funds in one lump sum on approval by the Judicial Council. The full details of the methodology are available in the report and its attachment. Since the funding outlined in the report can only be used for the additional costs that courts incur from increased transcript rates, any unspent funds are required to revert to the State General Fund each fiscal year. There's a true-up process that will occur at the end of the fiscal year to pull back any remaining funds for reversion to the State General Fund. This process is based on historical baseline amount and the actual expenditures for the current fiscal year and is also described in detail in the report. And during the Child Court Budget Advisory Committee discussion of this item, there was a question raised about the possibility of mid-year reallocation of these funds. The Judicial Council approved methodology doesn't call for a mid-year reallocation. Therefore, the TCBAC approved recommendation doesn't include it either. Changing this methodology to include the mid-year reallocation is being explored for a future fiscal year. And so, with all that being said, available for any questions.
Marshall, thanks so much. And Judge Mormon, I turn it back to you and your committee.
All right, I take it the reference to the mid-year reallocation would be a some sort of true-up process, right? That's we're right now not doing.
Yes, that, and I'm sure Marshall can detail that, but exactly right. We don't want to, I'm overgeneralizing, but we don't want to leave any money on the table if we don't have to. So we'll go back and look at it to see if there's courts that haven't spent it, courts that are in need of it, and then potentially reallocate.
Okay, and I know TCBAC's looking at that for the future. All right, any questions on this item for either Judge Conklin or Marshall? Not seeing any. So the recommendation does appear at page 6 of the materials. Is there a motion?
I'll move Hill.
Thank you, Ms. Hill. Thank you. Is there a second?
Crompton seconds.
Thank you. Any further comments or questions? All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor of the motion to approve the recommendation, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, seeing none, thank you. And we'll move to the next item, which is item number 2. It's the final adjustments for the year-end fund balances for fiscal year 24 and 25. The materials concerning this item are at pages 9 through 12. Judge Conklin, as chair of TCBAC, is back with Ms. Tuck. Oksana, I saw your name. I know you're out there. Oksana Tuck, she's our senior analyst with the Judicial Council Budget Services. And I'll turn it over to you, Judge Conklin and Oksana.
Thanks, Judge Mormon. And I'll get right back to Oksana in just a second after a brief introduction. I think you're all familiar with this. For those of you that are not, I remind you, we have a 3% fund cap balance as to the amount of money the courts can retain each year. That goes hand in hand with funds held on behalf of. So the funds held on behalf of is also comes to you through TCBAC, through the Fiscal Planning Subcommittee. And that allows courts to maintain funds for ongoing projects. And we make very efficient use of that. So as Oksana's going to detail for you, but I will highlight, there's about $20 million left on the table before the funds held on behalf of come into play. But then when you factor in the funds held on behalf of, which allows the courts to retain that amount of money left on the table is dramatically reduced to just over $2 million, which I think testifies to the efficiency of the trial courts. So there's my high flyover, and I'm turning it over to Oksana now to detail that. Oksana?
Thank you, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Oksana Tuck. I'm a senior analyst with Budget Services and will be presenting today on agenda item number 2. Beginning June 30th, 2019, Government Code Section 77203 allows trial courts to carry over unexpended funds in an amount not to exceed 3% of the court's operating budget from the prior fiscal year. This is known as the 3% cap, and the operating budget is defined as actual expenditures, including accruals and encumbrances. Statute requires that by January of each fiscal year, After review of available trial court reserves for the prior fiscal year, the Judicial Council will finalize allocations to the trial courts. Each court's finalized allocation is offset by the amount of reserves in excess of the 3% cap. Trial courts submitted their final 3% computations with year-end information, and the calculation for the adjustment to the court's fund balance cap for fiscal year 24-25 is displayed in Attachment 2A on page 12 of the materials. Column N represents the court's total final reduction in the amount of 20.6 million. Column O displays funds held on behalf requests that are pending before the Judicial Council approval at its December 12, 2025 business meeting. A total of 21 courts have submitted funds held on behalf requests totaling 17.7 million for fiscal year 24-25. This funding will be retained in the trial court trust fund as a restricted fund balance, and courts will be reimbursed for actual expenditures for approved projects in their monthly distributions. Once approved by the council, those requests will offset the final reduction of 20.6 million, resulting in net reduction of only 2.9 million. This reduction will be allocated to the trial courts in their January 2026 distribution number 7. So, recommendation before the Judicial Branch Budget Committee today, as presented on page 11, is to approve the 3% fund balance cap reduction allocation of 20.6 million, consistent with the trial court's final computations of the amount above the 3% fund balance cap, which nets to 2.9 million after adjusting for 17.7 million in applicable funds held on behalf requests. The committee's recommendation will be considered at the Judicial Council December 12, 2025 business meeting. So that concludes our presentation, and we're happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Oksana, thanks so much. And Judge Mormon, with that thorough presentation from Oksana, I turn it back to you.
Okay, so do we have any questions?
I have a question.
Yeah, Judge Rhodes.
Thank you for the presentation, and I appreciate all the information. I was looking at the table, and I'm wondering if you think it's true and consistent over the last few years that smaller counties are more likely to have a net reduction after the funds being held back. And there are small counties that have funds held on behalf of as well, but it seems like overall the larger counties are taking more advantage of that. Is that accurate? Or, and is it true over time as well, as far as you can tell?
Yeah, I would start with mentioning that fiscal conditions of the courts change year to year. So it's really difficult to establish any particular trend per se. And if you look at the last year, for example, few courts that are returning money this year did not return last year, and vice versa. So again, it's really difficult to see a particular trend, but it will be still safe to say that smaller courts do kind of have a tend to be the ones that return funds more often than, let's say, middle size courts or the larger courts. We want to emphasize that again, every single court have the ability and opportunity every fiscal year to submit their funds held on behalf request. And typically we see that about slightly over 20 courts tend to do so every year. Also, we would like to emphasize that we have a consistent effort established for growing the awareness of the Funds Hold on Behalf program among the courts. So again, the goal is to spread the word out, and hopefully more courts will utilize this program. Anybody else want to add anything?
And that's a great question, Judge Rhodes, and I might just offer that to the last point that Oksana made about our efforts. We talk about the funds on behalf of to the courts on a regular basis, and even more so this year at the December council meeting. We're going to what would have been might have been a normally a consent item. We're going to have a discussion about the benefits of the funds on behalf of process. And it is a matter of fiscal planning, whether courts are able to. I mean, you have the benefit of a Daryl Parker, who was, you know, chair of SEAC last year, knows the differing fiscal climate and conditions of each court and whether they have the need to take advantage of the program. But we do definitely try to, you know, at every opportunity we can, we let folks know. But there might be something a little bit to the what courts take advantage of it. We did a quick look. I mean, as Oksana said, it may lean to smaller courts. Sometimes are the ones that return funds proportionally more often than medium to larger courts. But it is not for lack of our efforts to make them aware of it, educate them. There are CFO roundtables, chief financial officer roundtables that occur a couple of times a year. We speak to them about the process. So there's a lot of effort made, but we don't control when courts come forward. And the fact that only, you know, between 20 to 30, you know, at the high, I think we had 27 in 1 year come forward. That's still, you know, a large number of courts that don't. But that doesn't mean that they aren't managing their year-end expenditures through, as Oksana described, encumbering funds against valid contracts and managing their year-end funds within the constraints of a normal year-end budget close process.
Yeah, and Judge Rhodes, as Zlatko and Oksana has clarified, the funds held on behalf of part of it is an educational process. We do have some relatively new CEOs in some courts that are coming up to speed. You know, and I can't really explain why some years some courts return more than others. It's a little bit of an economy of scale. Smaller courts have funding floors that dictate money that they get. But at the end of the day, and I hate to put Zlatko or Oksana on the spot, I don't remember the figure of the total amount of money that the trial courts get every year. But when you consider that we're only returning less than $3 million, I think it's less than 1% of the funds were allocated or being returned.
Over $3 billion of trial court funds.
What was it?
Over $3 billion.
Yeah. So is it 1/10 of 1%? It's a very efficient figure at the end of the day to show how the courts are spending their money. But Judge Rhodes, and we're continuing to monitor that to make sure that all courts are aware of the legitimate use of funds held on behalf of.
May I ask a follow-up question?
Sure.
How often are requests for funds held on behalf of approved or denied? Does that question make sense?
Yeah, it's Zlatko can answer as well. It's morphed over the years, but now it's down to once a year that we go through the process. And to give you a specific percentage of denied, it's very rare that they're denied. They're sent back for additional work.
Yeah, Judge Conklin, and to help with that response, yes. There has never been, once we work through the process with the courts upon their initial submission where there might be some questions, there hasn't been an item that has gone ultimately to the fiscal planning subcommittee that's been denied. But our goals are, as they come in, they may have issues, and we work diligently with the courts to ensure that the questions are clarified, the requests are consistent with the parameters of the program. But it is a public, transparent process so that everybody is aware of how the council is looking at the, you know, the important use of limited resources that are, you know, state resources. And so, but we do work hard to ensure that if a court has a need, that we can make sure that they get the relief that the funds on behalf of process provides, again, transparently and consistent with the policy, both at the council level and state statute.
Thank you. I appreciate all that information.
Of course, always learning. And we appreciate the questions that give everybody publicly listening the opportunity. This is even another opportunity to make the process known and its benefits. And we will have Judge Hernandez talking about the Orange Funds on behalf of at the council meeting, and the current SEAC chair, Kate Beaker, also talking about how Ventura is benefiting from their funds on behalf of submissions. So we're not just going to talk about it from a technical process, but actually how benefits, how courts are benefiting from the process to help them manage their operations in tight fiscal times.
So I have a question slightly related. So the 2.9 million reduction in the body of the recommendation, it says the 2.9 million reduction will be allocated to the trial courts on January 2026. What does that mean? Where does the
I'll let Oksana respond to that.
That means that actually there will be a reduction of total of 2.9 million to the court's January distribution. So we will include reductions that will lower their distribution by 2.9 million.
So it's the 2.9 million is the allocations to the courts that are over the 3% cap in column O, they will have their January allocation reduced proportionate to their portion. Sorry, terrible language, but you know what I mean, right?
Yes, so the numbers in the last column in attachment 2A, that's the net reduction, and those exact numbers will be allocated as a reduction to the January distribution for those courts.
And that's does column P.
Yeah. I'm sorry, was there a question?
Yeah, column B. Column B. That's correct.
Column B.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. And just for context, the statute requires the council make preliminary allocations in July and final allocations in January. And the process in between is when courts finalize their fiscal year end and the funds on behalf of processes available to them. So a court conceivably started with a July allocation of 100. And after it's all said and done, this might reduce their overall annual allocation by a dollar because it was the amount that they carried over from the prior year. So they're still getting 100. It's the amount that they had left over from prior year that was above. We're going to pull that back and balance it so that the state is only allocating out 99 to them. And that's how the, and then that dollar is otherwise stays in the trial court trust fund for use by the branch.
Okay, thank you. All right, any other questions? If not, the recommendation appears at page 11 to approve the information that's been presented so that the council can consider it at the December 12 meeting.
Rhodes will move to approve.
Thank you.
Armendariz will second.
Thank you. Any further discussion, comments, questions? All right. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. Thank you. And Sarah, so Justice Hill has confirmed he won't be joining us today. All right. Then we'll move to our last action item, which is the consideration of the annual agenda for TICBAC. Their annual agenda, of course, is to be implemented on January 1, 2026. We'll run the calendar year. The proposed annual agenda is in our materials. The prior year annual agenda was included as well, just for reference. Those materials are contained at pages 13 through 37. And I'm going to turn it over to Judge Conklin again, as Chair of TICBAC, and Maria Lira. Hello, Maria.
Hello.
Another senior analyst with Judicial Council Budget Services are here to talk us through the annual agenda and answer any questions. Judge Conklin.
Judge Mormon, thanks. And before I turn it over to Maria, I'm just kind of parroting what Judge Mormon just told you, but this is our work plan for the coming year, what we're going to do. As I remind all of you, the job of TICBAC is to make recommendations to the council concerning the preparation, development, and implementation of our budget. How we get the money, what we do with the money, how that money is allocated. And this is with that money that we get, what do we do with it? How do we achieve those goals? I do remind you, and there's a technical aspect to this was raised at the TechBack meeting concerning a question about CARE Act money and whether or not it's reallocated for unspent funding in the fiscal year 24-25. Staff drilled down into this, and though Maria can detail it, staff determined that the information related to that question was part of the TICPAC annual agenda for 25, the current year agenda, which was included as a reference and not part of 26. So the 25 work plan included that, but not the 26 work plan. So for this agenda, the CARE allocations are noted under project highlights and are not an active project because that's being dealt with in the 25 fiscal plan. So I hope that doesn't confuse everybody, provides a little bit of detail on the specific issue. And now I'll turn it over to Maria just to generally set forth the work plan we're asking you to approve for fiscal year, for the next fiscal year.
Thank you, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon, Judge Mormon and committee members. My name is Maria Lita. I'm a senior analyst with Budget Services. Item three for this committee's consideration is the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee draft annual agenda for 2026, which reflects new or one-time projects, ongoing projects and activities, and summarizes 2025 project highlights and achievements for the TICPAC. The proposed agenda is provided as attachment A on page 15 of your materials. And now I'd like to provide a brief highlight of the agenda. The workload formula equity-based reallocation policy updates is a new addition to the agenda. It was implemented for the first time in fiscal year 25-26. This project originated from a new item that was added to the approved funding methodology subcommittee's annual work plan for 2025-26 and is to clarify certain aspects of how the equity-based reallocation policy is interpreted and applied. The clarification will improve transparency in budget planning and funding adjustments. Other new items in the agenda include a reallocation methodology for the pre-trial release program, a revised allocation methodology for court-appointed juvenile dependency counsel that is intended to improve outcomes in the dependency system, recommendations from the Shriver Civil Counsel Act Implementation Committee for the fiscal year 2026 to 2029 grant cycle, and evaluation of the trial court minimum operating and emergency fund balance policy. TICPAC will consider recommendations to determine the impact of the existing $5 million state level emergency reserve and 3% fund balance cap to potentially repeal the policy before the June 30th, 2026 suspension expires. Now moving on to the ongoing project section. In alignment with the charge of TICPAC, the funding adjustments for annual governor's budget, May revision, and enacted budget. The TICPAC will continue to make recommendations to this committee and the Judicial Council for funding adjustments and will address funding proposals that impact the trial courts in collaboration with the Judicial Council offices, other advisory committees, and stakeholders to implement budget proposals as needed. The workload formula policy allocation to the trial courts. The TICPAC will continue to make recommendations to this committee and the Judicial Council regarding annual allocations to the trial courts, as well as the preparation, development, and implementation of the budget, and provide input on policy issues that affect trial court funding. Next, the workload formula adjustment request process is standard, and it's an ongoing project on the agenda. This process allows trial courts an annual opportunity to submit recommendations for changes to the workload formula, and this item resides on the annual FMS work plan. In January 2025, two requests were received, and because it was determined that both proposals could impact the resource assessment study, they were referred to the Data Analytics Advisory Committee, or DAC, for their review. DAC met on November 4th to consider these requests. Finally, I'd like to highlight a few of the project accomplishments of 2025. The TICPAC and this committee made fiscal year 25-26 recommendations to the Judicial Council that included allocations of $46.6 million from the State Trial Court Improvement and Modernization Fund and $3.1 billion from the Trial Court Trust Fund to support trial court programs and operations. Also, the take-back in this committee made a recommendation to the Judicial Council to partially restore $42 million of the $97 million reduction for trial court operations included in the Budget Act of 2024. The Council approved methodology, allocated the revised $55 million ongoing reduction to the trial courts. The last item that I'd like to highlight is the Judicial Council's approval in July 2025 of the TICFAC's recommendation to update the workload formula policy to include allocation methodologies to address future budget situations, including budget reductions, funding restoration in the same fiscal year, and funding restoration that occurs in a future fiscal year. Specific methodologies in the policy increase transparency and allows courts to plan for changes in funding levels. And as noted earlier, for reference, the current 2025 annual agenda that was approved by the committee, by this committee in December 2024, is provided in Attachment B. That concludes my presentation, and we are happy to answer any questions.
Maria, thanks so much. You summarized very efficiently a tremendous amount of work that's accomplished over the past year. And I have to acknowledge the assistance of Budget Services in helping us get there. So it's a great team effort, as I continuously say, and I hope you all realize. But with that, I would ask that you consider and approve the work plan. And Judge Mormon, I turn it back to you or your committee for any questions.
All right, thank you. Are there any questions? I don't see anything. I just want to maybe highlight, if another word isn't a better one, on the newer one-time projects. The number one is the workload formula equity-based reallocation policy update. So I think it's important for the public just to be reminded, and members of the committee to be reminded, that, you know, one of the primary goals of their branch is to, you know, we reach equitable funding across all 58 counties, and we have a formula that's designed to achieve that based on the appropriations that we get. But it's important to be constantly revisiting this. And I think in this last year, we had FMS took a look at it. Now it's going to tick back as a whole. We'll continue to take a look at it. And I think it's just worthy of mentioning it. I mean, it is super, super important, gets a lot of attention, especially during times of reduction, but also during times when we have money restored, because we had money restored this year. When I mean this year, I mean really last fiscal year, but that ended on June 30. But, you know, money restored versus new money becomes part of the conversation. And then when we have reductions, then that becomes part of the conversation. So the constant goal to achieve equity across the state is something that's always, always, always in flux. And TICFAC is always, always looking at it with a lot of input from people and stakeholders, judges, you name it, from around the state. And I just thought it was worthy of emphasizing this is an ongoing project, but it's also really complicated, really important. And just thank you, Ms. Lira, and everybody at JVBC, and Judge Conklin, to everybody on your committee for constantly examining this very delicate dance that we have to make.
Constantly examining is exactly right. And thank you very much.
Okay, any other questions or observations? Seeing no hands, is there a motion to approve the annual agenda such that it can be on the agenda for the Judicial Council meeting on December 12th?
Crompton moves.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Hill will second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Seeing no hands, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, thank you. So we have an information item to consider. We're going to receive some information on the FMS, the Funding Methodology Subcommittee. Their projects for fiscal year 25-26. And we have some materials that are at pages 38 through 43. Dovetails nicely with the annual agenda, I might say. You know, thank you for such great planning. And so we're going to turn it over again to Judge Conklin and Ms. Lira to talk us through that.
Thanks, Judge Mormon. And as Judge Mormon just clarified, this is not an action item. It's an informational item just to provide you an update about FMS and the work we're doing. The work plan was approved by TCBAC in July of each year. The Judicial Council approved the 25-26 allocations for the court-appointed Juvenile Dependency Council, and as sort of to supplement our FMS work plan, directed TCBAC to add an additional item to the current year work plan to consider revised allocation methodology for that program. Also, the reevaluation of the methodologies in response to concerns raised by the stakeholders. We have stakeholders who have appropriately let us know of concerns about that dependency program and the allocation for it, and we're addressing that. So I will turn it back to Maria to just give you a brief and detailed, yet detailed, update. Maria?
Thank you. Thank you, Judge Conklin. Maria Lita, Senior Analyst with the Judicial Council Budget Services, presenting on this last item. This item is an informational update regarding the Funding Methodology Subcommittee, or FMS, work plan for fiscal year 25-26. As noted by Judge Conklin on September 2nd, the Judicial Council approved the fiscal year 25-26 allocations for court-appointed Juvenile Dependency Council, and they also directed the TCBAC to add an additional item to its work plan to consider a revised methodology for this funding. The TCBAC met on October 29th and approved the FMS recommendation to update the work plan for 25-26 to revise the existing allocation methodology for court-appointed juvenile council funding to address challenges faced by the trial courts in providing quality representation for children and families. During the budget development process for fiscal year 25-26, stakeholders raised concerns that the existing allocation methodology no longer addressed the realities of current juvenile dependency practice due to changes in federal and state law. The trial courts also raised concerns that the small court adjustment, which provides additional funding to smaller courts to help them meet minimum staffing and service standards despite having fewer cases, should be revised to ensure it reflects current program needs. Therefore, a reevaluation of the existing methodology was recommended to improve outcomes in the dependency system. The additional item is reflected as item 6 of the updated work plan, as it's provided as attachment 1A, page 40 of your materials. And for reference, the original FMS work plan for fiscal year 25-26 that was approved by TCBAC on July 2nd, 2025 is included as attachment 1B. So that concludes my presentation. We are happy to answer any questions.
All right. I'm not seeing any hands. I just want to kind of, you know, one of the things I constantly try to do is like relate these subjects to broader subjects. So what you all might remember from our July Judicial Council meeting is that the council did approve an additional BCP to be presented to fund a study for dependency council needs across the state. And because we hadn't conducted a study about dependency council needs, I think it was 2004, 2005, it was quite some time ago. And, you know, so number 6 on this work plan relates to that. It's not, you know, having anything to do with acquiring the money for the study, but it is consistent with the priority that the council recognized and, you know, taking a look at how, the information upon which dependency council funding is based and trying to bring it a little more current.
And if I might add,
sure,
this shows the adaptability of TCBAC and FMS, in so much as we had already worked through a work plan for FMS. And as an emerging issue comes, we revise the work plan as we're in the midst of implementing it. And so, and even back to the prior reference about our, the reallocation methodology, since that was initially adopted in 2018, the work that will come and may likely have another change will be the third update to that model. So we have very thoughtful people who look at things, and I think we as staff really appreciate the question, just as Judge Rhodes asked. You know, we are driven by your curiosity, your interest in improving and making our processes better. And it's our collaboration with our committee members and the staff that really helps us advance the branch. So I really appreciate that very much.
We have learned to pivot. And sometimes we pivot right in the middle of these plans, and we really appreciate it. I'm sorry about the transition there. I'm in a jury trial and I just had to address something for our 2 o'clock hearing. So thanks for transitioning for us, Judge Mormon. But if there's any questions about this information item, either myself or Maria are happy to answer.
I'm not seeing any hands. So I just want to say, Judge Conklin, Maria, Marshall may have left, I don't know, but thank you for your presentations today. And I do want to say to the committee, it's important that we ask questions, even though we think we might know the answer. Part of the reason to ask a question is because if you have the question, that means somebody who has an interest in the subject matter has the same question. And if we can get an explanation in a public meeting, it really helps. This, you know, none of this information is really very simple to absorb, much less become facile with. And so questions and comments are always welcome. And thank you to JVBC staff, budget services staff. I'm supposed to say when the next meeting is. That's how I'm supposed to conclude. Oh, December 10th, from 2 to 3, later in the, so we're not on that Thursday before like we normally are because of the Distinguished Service Awards. So optional, whether you want to appear in person in San Francisco or remotely, it should just be an hour. And if I don't see you there, or I'll see you remotely or in person, then see you the next day at various council events and then at the meeting on that Friday. But just have us on your calendar for December 10th from 2 to 3. And if there's nothing else, for the good of the order, happy fall. Thank you, everyone. Meeting's adjourned.
So long, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. Bye. Bye.